Hallelujah. Good morning. How's everybody today? Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice because we have a choice. Amen. We have a choice to rejoice. You want to be miserable? Go back in your closet. Wait for Jesus to come and get filled. But don't go out and tell people you know Jesus if you're miserable, because that ain't my God. That's not my Jesus. My Jesus is joyful. My Jesus brings revelation. My Jesus. He heals, he delivers, he casts out devils. My Jesus. That's my dad. Hallelujah. He's your dad too if you want him. Glory. You know, the world goes around today celebrating a rabbit. But we don't celebrate rabbits. They're out there chasing a rabbit. Praise God. It's probably one of the only days. No, the first one day is Christmas. The next day is Easter. Everybody goes to church. Hallelujah. But what do they do the day after? Everyone said, say the day after. The day after. You know, people don't realize that the day after is more important than that day. Because it's what you do afterwards. It's what we do afterwards that's more accountable. Because we're going to pay account to everything we do when we stand before God. The day after. In Matthew 27, would you go there, please? Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 27. In verse 45. Is everybody there?
Hallelujah.
Matthew 27, verse 45. It says, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. They had to be the largest, longest eclipse ever. How many of you know God can do anything? He can arrange the moon and the sun to stop everything. There's darkness globally. Now, you got to understand that those hours were between 12 noon and 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So between 12 noon and 3 p.m. in the afternoon, it was completely dark while Jesus was on the cross, representing and fulfilling the Feast of Passover, where the sacrificial lamb would be sacrificed. Jesus being the sacrificial lamb. And it says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. Jesus did not accept it. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Jesus just entered hell. Why did he enter hell? Because he took all... See, you can't get into hell without sin. So Jesus took all of man's sin so he could enter hell and pay the price for every human being that would be willing to follow him. And it says, and the rocks were split. And it said, then the graves were open. Why? Because resurrection life just hit the earth. The one who gives life and takes it. And the one that can restore dead to life. It says, and the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were risen. So I want you to understand that these were the saints. These were individuals that had followed Jesus, accepted Jesus during his period of time of ministry. These were not old patriarchs and stuff like that. These were the period of Jesus's 3 to 3.5 years where Jesus walked on the earth and was fulfilling his ministry, where all those who believed him, followed him, accepted him. In that period of time, there were many who died. And in that period of time when many died, when Jesus died on the cross and he rose. Now watch this. It says, so many of the saints, right? These are not unbelievers. These are believers, aren't they? Remember, you're not voted to be a saint. Hello. Far be it, we'd be bound by religion. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, who had died, were raised. And coming out of the graves after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Oh, my God. I mean, come on. They were his witnesses now. You don't think a lot of people got saved after they saw Uncle Sam and Aunt Jenny and Grandpa, Mama, whatever, rose from the dead, and they went in to say, what? Wait a minute, you died 3 years ago. Yeah, but I'm alive now. Jesus came and took me out. He took the keys of the devil away of death, hell, and the grave. And I'm his first fruits to show people that he is a resurrection of life and that there's no life without him. None. Woohoo! Verse 54, it says, and so when the centurion soldier and those who were with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly. I bet you they did. Saying, truly, this is the Son of God whom we spit, whom we whipped, and who we tossed his garments, who we cursed. But Jesus said something very powerful on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do. Why? Because they don't know the influence of the unseen realm that manipulates the minds and thoughts of individuals. See, most people think that their thoughts are their own because they're so accustomed to that same voice that's within them. But they don't realize that that voice is an imitator. Satan loves, and the powers of darkness love. I mean, God would never tell someone to rape someone, would he? He would never tell them to lie or cheat or use drugs or steal or anything else. Those things are the influence of the unseen realm. Those are called spirits, demons, looking for a body. So we see here Jesus at this time, who is God, who came into this realm. It says that the veil was torn. In other words, he opened up. He split open dimensional. He split open the dimensional port so that God could now fellowship with man and man could now fellowship with God. He split it open. He utilized the temple in a physical arena. When he rose from the dead, it ripped. But in the spiritual arena, it also ripped. It opened up. That's why Jesus is known as the eternal port. He said, no man come to the Father except for through him. No man can have eternal life except for through him. Why? He's the only pathway to eternity. Has everybody got it? It's pretty amazing that all of these things that are falling, prophecy is being fulfilled consistently right now. We just had, I don't know if you know, but yesterday was the blood moon. It's one of the third or the fourth. There's four blood moons that will be fulfilled for prophecy. The next one will be in September 28th, and that will be the final blood moon of what we call a tetra, and there won't be another one again. There won't be another one again. Does everybody get that? It's not recorded. You go to NASA and try and look it up to see if there'll be another tetra. There isn't one. Why? Because time's running out. See, the world doesn't get this. They're too busy chasing bunny rabbits and eggs. They're too busy in the kingdom of self instead of the kingdom of God. That they don't see what's happening. They have no idea what's going on. God's saying, my own people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me tell you, we need to get ready to go home. But there are things that must be fulfilled. I'm not saying that this is the end of the world. Do you understand it? But every full moon, I mean, every blood moon had an association with one of the feasts of the Lord or events of Israel. Does everybody get it? Now, this last one that was just yesterday, it was the shortest eclipse of the century. It was the third blood moon. The next one is September 28th. It will fall on the Feast of Tabernacles. This last one fell on the Feast of Passover. When all coincide with Jewish feasts and events. Jesus came, his coming into this realm changed the way the world viewed life to those who received him and followed him. They had heard about it, but when God came into this realm and ripped open the eternal port, it was a phenomenal change of life here. Life on earth would never be the same. Never. And it's been continuing ever since. Why? Because Jesus did not come to bring religion. He came to expose it. He was about kingdom business. Listen, there are three kingdoms I want to share again. There is the kingdom of self. There is the kingdom of darkness that rules the kingdom of self. And then there's the kingdom of God. And there's only one true kingdom, everlasting and everlasting. And there's only one truly with the power. Everything else has been granted. And one of the things that happened, the kingdom of self is actually the Matrix. It's ruled by the kingdom of Satan. If you've ever seen the movie Matrix, watch it. You can get by a first few of those curse words, like God never heard it. Don't get religious. But I'll tell you, if you've never seen the first movie Matrix, watch it. It will open your eyes to the deception and bondage of what's happening because it's a reality. It may be a fictional thing, but it was a parallel. In other words, God released into this movie a parable of what's going on because it's a parallel to things of what's going on in the spirit realm. And the kingdom of self is the matrix. It is ruled by Satan's kingdom. He is behind everything. He is behind technology here. He's behind education. He's behind healthcare. He's behind everything, government, everything. The only thing that's holding him back from fully blowing full out is the body of Christ that's here. Once we are removed, which is the next feast, all hell will break out and people will be in tribulation. So you got to think about this. If there's seven feasts of the Lord, Jesus already fulfilled the first four feasts. The next feast is a feast of trumpets, which is the removal of the body of Christ from the earth. That means Revelation is that close. We are already in what they call the beginning of birth pangs, or what we call the beginning of sorrows. We've been in it for a while. The next phase will be tribulation, then great tribulation. Is everybody okay? John chapter 10. And you're speaking like, maybe I better get my life together. No, maybe you better give your life to Jesus, because you can't get it together anyways. Amen. I tried. And it didn't work. John chapter 10 and verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the what? The door to the sheep. In other words, I am the eternal port. I am the only way out of here. I'm the only way out of the matrix. All who have ever come before me are thieves and robbers. In other words, there's so much religion out there, it's ridiculous. No one ever opened up the eternal port. No one rose from the dead. In fact, all of these other religions that they worship, they're all dead. These were nothing but men who were demonized with false dreams. There's many goddesses and gods and all kinds of stuff, but they're not real. There's only one true God, and there's only one truth. In verse 8, and all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. In other words, when you are born of the Spirit, you no longer hear or follow the voice of the stranger. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. Jesus is the door, the eternal port of escape from the life of the kingdom of self, which is ruled by the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, so that we may enter into the kingdom of God. He is the only way. Amen? He's the only way. So in this, we see that now that even though that we are born of the Spirit and we live in this realm, even though we're in the matrix, we're not part of the matrix. Does everybody get it? Our citizenship now is no longer of the kingdom of self. It is the kingdom of God. So even though that we are in this realm, in this kingdom, ruled by Satan's kingdom, we're not under his rule. We're under the rule of Christ. And it's different. So we see here that, you know, when you and I were here physically, first of all, we came from God's presence. We were born in darkness. We were born with blinders on our eyes. We were offsprings of darkness. We were actually known as Satan's children. We were destined for wrath. But when the Spirit of God came, drew us, offered us eternal life, we accepted this eternal life into this salvation. And by walking into the Spirit in this new realm, and that eternal port that is available, now we're walking in the kingdom of God. But even though we're living in this realm, we only live and breathe in this certain area here. Because there's a whole other place for me and you. It's not of this world. Jesus said, he's not of this world, and those who follow me are not of this world. But the world will hate you because they hated me. Look at all the persecution that's going on right now. You don't see it publicized so much. But Christians are being murdered all over the world, and so are Jews. But the media will not tell you. There may be a couple of them, but they don't want to tell you. Why? Because who rules them? Satan's kingdom. So a lot of information is withheld to believers and unbelievers so that control can be continuous and manipulated. into the minds of people and changing their hearts so that they're willing to follow whatever they believe on TV, whatever music they hear, all the other things. Why? Because the world is always influencing individuals to come back under control and rule of Satan's kingdom. In the book of John, in chapter 20, Gospel of John, I'm sorry. Chapter 20 and verse 17. Now Jesus raises from the dead, and the first person that he actually meets is Mary. Mary Magdalene, who was a hooker, prostitute, a sinner. Jesus cast out 7 demons from her, but she followed the Lord after she got freed. It's amazing, man, when God frees you. Woo-hoo! Especially some of us that have been out there demonized into the pit of hell, living that way. When God, man, I mean, much is forgiven, much is given. Amen? And of course, then there's much required. And so he meets Mary. She's there looking for him. Why? She was grateful. And in verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned and said to him, Rabbi, or what's known as teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. Now check that out. My Father and your Father, and my God and your God. I am ascending. But he said, go tell. So I want you to understand that Mary was the first one to preach the resurrection of Jesus. A female. Well, they'll blow it out of religious garbage out, won't they? Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be with you the day after. The day after. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said something vitally important. Receive the Holy Spirit. This is the day after Jesus rose from the dead. He is visiting his disciples saying, look at, I know that you don't understand this, but my presence has been protecting you. Now that I'm not here with you, I'm releasing my spirit to you to sustain you, but you got to be sustained. Hang tough. Don't go anywhere until the feast of Pentecost is fulfilled. And that will be the beginning and the foundation of my church, because the foundation will be built on the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty called the anointing, which the gates of hell cannot prevail. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That's why it's important to hold no bitterness. That's why it's important that you forgive. Well, I've been lied to. I've been used to. People stole from me. So what? Forgive them. But I don't feel forgiveness. God ain't interested in whether you feel or not. He wants you to confess it. It's got nothing to do with feelings. Feelings lie. Does everybody understand? If you're going to let your feelings rule your life, you will always be an up and down roller coaster. And God can't trust someone who lives by their feelings. We live by truth. Amen? So that's why it's important that we forgive. We hold no bitterness. Listen, when somebody hurts you, it doesn't mean you go back and have to hang with them. You'd have to be an idiot. So let them go. Associations bring what? Impartations. Let them go. This was the day after Jesus is trying to tell them. The day after. In chapter 21, in verse 4, it said, but when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him and said, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and they were not able to draw in it in, because there was what? So much multitudes of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. John recognized the Lord. Why? Because he was the closest one to him. Many people wouldn't know Jesus if he stood in front of them. But they come to church, they pay tithes, and they play religion, but they have no relationship. It's all intellectual. Is everybody okay? And verse 7, therefore the disciple whom loved Jesus said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put out his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Now, they didn't even get there yet. Hello. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Come on, we'll add more over here. That's what he said. Simon Peter went out and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to him, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? The only one that really knew was John, the one that loved him the most. He was probably thinking, what's your guys' problem? It's Jesus. You can't get this? Verse 13, then Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Then he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken these things, he said to him, follow me. He said what? Follow me. So there were the day after and then days after. Amen? In the book of Acts in chapter 1, would you go there, please? So remember that the day after Jesus appeared to them and he breathed on them, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Here's enough of my presence to get you to this day. Now, in verse 3, it says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the what? Kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. What was he trying to do? He's saying, come on into the kingdom of self. Why? Because the kingdom of self is ruled by the kingdom of Satan. Come on, I'm making a way of escape for you. In verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them. He did what? He commanded them. He did not ask them. He commanded them. And this is where is being lacked in the kingdom right now in the body of Christ. It's keeping too many people out of the manifestation of the kingdom of God because they are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And many who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit have walked away from the Spirit and back into religiosity. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with what? Water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And let me tell you, I've asked many people, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I think so. Well, then you're not. Believe me, you know when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Scales come off. You get another language to speak directly to your Father. You have power over the kingdom of self. You're no longer living from the past. You're living from the future. It is different. Not saying that there's not a process to that because you have a free will. In verse 8, would you read it with me? He said, but you shall receive what? Well, what do you need power for? Build a house? Restore a car? Believe me, you need power to restore a car. To overcome temptation, to burn it. Hallelujah. That's a personal joke. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? Listen, what good of a witness can we be if we're still living in the kingdom of self and don't have power over it? Very poor. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Witnesses. Remember, Jesus commanded them to wait and receive resurrection power. That's what that's about. Why? Because you are a new creation in the anointing in Christ. Old things have passed away, all things become new. But without cooperation, that doesn't continue. That's why he said, follow me. See, so many people said, okay, I'll follow you. Only today. Tomorrow, I don't know. In fact, this afternoon, I may have my own plans. See, with this resurrection power, eyes are open, ears are open, hearts are open to follow. A tongue is given where you're given a direct language to your throne room of your dad, and we go and sin no more. We go and sin no more. We go and sin no more. Why? Because we have power. Power to overcome the kingdom of self where sin reigns. So Jesus hung out with them 40 days, and then he ascended. And when he ascended, 10 days after he ascended, he fulfilled the Feast of Pentecost, where people were in the upper room and got baptized, and the Holy Ghost began to speak with other languages, tongues, directly to the Father. And they had power. Then they went out with boldness. They preached the kingdom of God, bringing people out of the kingdom of self that was ruled under Satan's kingdom. Acts 19. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Acts 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, did you get baptized in the Holy Ghost? And what did they say to him? We have not so much as even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So many people think they get baptized in the Holy Spirit when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Not saying it can't happen, but you know it. When I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the same time. It doesn't make me any special or anything. It's just one of those things that happened to me. And it's happened to many people. But some people have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and it took a while for them to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. My wife was one of them. So it took her a while. I couldn't wait till she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But when she did, man, what a totally difference. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it didn't take long. A few weeks? A few months? Okay. It was good training. Hallelujah. Okay, so they didn't even know about the Holy Spirit, right? Verse 3, and he said to them, then what were you baptized? And he said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, yeah, John did indeed baptize with the baptism of repentance, saying to them, you should believe on him who came after him, which is Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, look at what happened. Verse 6, read it with me. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, lachalameyam rohosi, and prophesied. Wow. Why? Because they just entered a whole realm of the kingdom. They came out of religion, and they entered the kingdom of God. Even Saul, who became Paul, the scales came off of his eyes. Oh, glorious. And they all spoke with tongues and began to speak to their Father. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit with power. They had the gifts of the Spirit. They carried the presence of God. And they declared the kingdom of God. Does everybody get that? See, so what happened after the day of your salvation? The day after? Many people have stopped at salvation, and they're still living in the kingdom of self and not the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 4, we have a wonderful teaching on our, we have a website called eternallibrary.org. And we have a wonderful teaching about Easter. And it explains about the paganism and so forth and where it came from. And so I encourage you, if you get a chance, go there and listen to the teaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 19, would you read it with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. Now, this is Paul sending a letter to the church of Corinth. And I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. Whoa, not are puffed up with knowledge. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in what? Power. Power over what? The kingdom of self. Why? Because it's no longer you that live, but him that lives. You no longer live for you. You live for him. And you fight for his presence. That's why we worship. Why? Because that's where we came from. Let me tell you, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and the presence of God comes, one of the things you realize is that you came from God's presence. You're like, whoa, this is home. This is home, man. You know what happens after that? You don't care about dying. Because dying is going to bring you home. Not that I want to die right now, but I'm dying daily, let me tell you. So the kingdom of God is power over the kingdom of self and over the ruling kingdom of Satan. In Acts 3, would you go there, please? Are you all right? Are you getting this? We want truth, right? Hallelujah. Acts 3, verse 11. Let's speak it together, please. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed, and when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Pilate was determined to let Jesus go. But the kingdom of self wasn't going to allow it. "But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." Verse 19, very powerful. He says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began." What's he saying? Turn from your idols. Turn from your idols. What could be the number one idol in your life? Self. Turn from your idols and get refreshed in the presence of God. Many people don't get refreshed in God's presence because they've not turned from themselves yet. They've not turned from their idols. They spend more time at home cleaning their car than coming to service. Service is not a religious event. It's a training session. We are being trained. This is where training is. It's not Bible studies. It's training sessions. You know, you got to think about, what has your life been like since the day after salvation or rededication or the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You know, if we would examine ourselves, we would see that God's either pleased with us or displeased with us. And we wonder why things aren't happening sometimes, because... And we may look at, well, God is no respecter of person. No, he's not. But will he favor one better than the other? Yes. Why? Because he can trust one more than another. That's why. In Galatians chapter 2. So he gives everybody the opportunity. If you're faithful, if you're consistent, if you're obedient, he'll either promote you or demote you. In verse 17, Galatians chapter 2, verse 17. Is everybody there? Let's read this, please. But if While we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again on those things which I destroyed, I make myself a what? In other words, if we build on those things that God has delivered us from, we make ourselves a transgressor. In other words, a transgressor is one who is active in sin. So if God has delivered you from something, freed you from something, but yet people go back to build on it again. For if I build again those things which I destroy, I make myself a what? Transgression. See, Jesus brought all things new, but some are still building on old. They're still building on old. Does everybody get that? In Second Peter chapter 2. And you have to be careful what you build with. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. And this is what we have to be careful of, because there are many out there who are not building on the anointing. They're not building on God's presence. They're not building on His truth. They're building on assumption. Many people don't even read their Bibles. They go hear a message or watch some evangelist on TV and go, oh, yeah, okay. But the day after, nothing's changed. Still the same. Not taking it to heart. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness to ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them freedom, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome by him also is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they again entangle in them and overcome, the latter is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it happened to them according to the true proverb, of what? A dog returns to his own vomit. In other words, a dog in the Bible means demonized person. So in this, he's saying that person is returning to the things that God has delivered them from or has warned them about being set free from, but they refuse to let it go. So they're still living, they act still, they think still according to the old man instead of walking according to the new man. So he says, and they return to their vomit, and a soul having washed to her wallowing in mire. So again, this is an area where God is saying, look it. He's talking about the day after. What did we do after the day after? And then the days after. Where are we now? People talk about what used to be. And they live on what used to be. It's not about what used to be. It's about what's going on now. He is the God of now. Where are we now? Because what is going on now is affecting you tomorrow. 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Would you read it together with me, please? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. You know, it's amazing. And so many events in the Bible where people were still touching the past. Do you know when you touch your past, you contaminate your spirit? When you contaminate your spirit, your soul becomes carnal and your flesh becomes rebellious. And you are now living in the kingdom of self instead of the kingdom of God. And you can fake it as long as you want, but eventually you will fold. In verse 9, for we are God's what? Fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has been built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in her own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Ephesians 4. In other words, by building it, we must use the things of the kingdom of God to build on the kingdom of God. You cannot use worldly things to build God's kingdom. It's amazing how many people just look, they have these beautiful buildings and sanctuaries, and they treasure these sanctuaries, not realizing it's a building. This place doesn't become the house of God until the people of God who are carrying God's presence come in. Other than that, it's just a stinking building. But they worship the building. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. Oh, let's start at verse 6. Is everybody there? I think. Let me see. 7, that's good. Verse 7, Ephesians 4. Let's read it. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, that means he went to hell first. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, oneness, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or woman, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, the anointing, that we should no longer be children, immature, ignorant, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we see there must be equipping. There must be training. Why? Because the day after, you know, it's amazing, the day after, people should be hungry. I know myself, after my day after salvation, I wanted more. I wanted more. I wanted to know more. I wanted to learn more. And the more I began to learn and the more I stayed hungry, the more I changed. Why? Because if you eat light, you become light. And what you speak is what you eat. And what you eat is what you become. In Matthew 11. See, if you don't come to training, you slip back into the past. Matthew chapter 11. Almost done. Hang in there. You can go home and eat your chocolate. Crush the rabbit. Hallelujah. Matthew 11. Is everybody there? The day after. Woohoo! 25, please. Verse 25. Would you read it with me? Matthew 11, verse 25. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. You know what the babe here is? It's not an ignorant baby Christian. It's an innocent person that the Bible tells us, be childlike. You know one thing about a baby is all trusting, isn't it? Quick to forgive and willing to learn. Verse 26, even so, Father, for so it is seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come on, read this with me now. Are you ready? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and what? And what? And what? Learn from me. That means there's going to be training involved. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I want to close at 1 Corinthians 15, the day after. Think about Think about the day after you get resurrected.
Woohoo!
See, there won't be any more days when you go home. Because there's no time, there's no space, everything just is. You won't be saying, well, we'll meet tomorrow. No, there ain't tomorrow, man. It just is. Oh, hallelujah. Don't have to go get sleep. You won't have weird dreams anymore or desires. You'll never be offended. Yay. No fear. Praise God. I always talk about, yeah, man, you can scuba dive with no gear. I can play tennis on both sides at the same time. Praise God. And win. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:20. Let's speak it together. But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, which we saw in the resurrection when Jesus, the saints there. Amen. Afterward, those who are Christ at his what? Coming. That would be us next. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, whom he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he will put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son of himself will also be subject to him who puts all things under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow him. Go to verse 50. And would you read this with me, please? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is the next event that will happen. It is called the rapture and the Feast of Trumpets. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. This is a resurrection event. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But you better be right with God, or you ain't going. You better have a ticket in your hand, and don't sell it. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved, be what? My brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounded in the work of the kingdom of God, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The day after. Now, you heard this today. What are you going to do tomorrow? You're going to go about your life, living the kingdom of self, or you're going to cut loose those things that are entangling and get plugged into a fellowship where they cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, pray in tongues, worship God till his presence comes? Or are you going to stay religious and live in the kingdom of self? Choice is ours. He's coming. We got to be ready. The powers of darkness are releasing more evil presence. Your battle today is harder than it was yesterday. And it will continue to increase. But praise God, we have the victory because he who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. Amen. But you got to be trained up. You can't go out there with a gun and not how to shoot it. Amen. You'd be out there trying to shoot someone and never know how to take off the safety. But see, in the spirit, we go out there with the Holy Ghost bazooka. We take out more than one demonic force at a time. Multiple. You call fire down from heaven. You destroy Satan's high altars and pagan altars. You take dominion and you bind and loose. You use the keys of the kingdom and you use your weapons. Most people don't even know what they are. That's why training is vital. Vital. There would be a lot more advancement and victory in the kingdom of God if more people were operating in the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of self. So think about the day after. What are you going to do tomorrow? Not at what you got today. Amen? Father, we are honored and blessed. We thank you for your word and revelation. Let it be illumination to each and every one, that eyes, ears, and hearts be open to you, to not only receive, but to obey, but to put it into play, that it be practiced, and that a thirst and a hunger would be established to want to know more and please you all the days of our life, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Prepare your hearts for communion. You may bring your offerings up.